In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Robert Heilbronner was an American economist and historian of economics. He was the author of more than 20 books. In one of his books, he described what would happen if a typical American family, for some reason, had to change places with a typical family throughout most of the world. He said, to start with, the American home would have to be stripped of practically all its furnishings. Everything goes. Beds, chairs, tables, television sets, lamps. We will leave the family with a few old blankets, a kitchen table, a wooden chair. Along with the furniture, the clothes must go also. Each member of the family may keep only his oldest suit or dress and a shirt or blouse. We will permit a pair of shoes to the head of the family. None for the wife or children. We move into the kitchen. The appliances have already been taken out, so we turn to the cupboards and pantry. The box of matches may stay, a small bag of flour, some sugar and salt. A few moldy potatoes already in the garbage can must be hastily rescued because they will provide tonight's meal. We will leave a handful of onions and a dish of dried beans. All the rest we will take away. The meat, the fresh vegetables, the canned goods, the crackers, the snacks, and candy. Next, the house must go as the family moves into the tool shed. Then newspapers, magazines, and books go. Hospitals and doctors go. Transportation goes, except for an old bicycle. Money goes. Well, a cash hoard of $5 is left, and the family's annual income is reduced to $420 or less. So we bring our typical American family down to the very bottom of the human scale where most families are living economically throughout the world. Now this quote is a little bit dated, maybe a couple of decades old, but it still makes a very significant point. We in America have so much for which to be thankful. We should not be puffed up about this. We should be humble that God has blessed us so richly. But even in the midst of such bounty, even while we are showered with such blessings, sometimes we just can't be satisfied. Sometimes we're just ungrateful. We want more. A few minutes ago, we read 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In this text, Paul tells us that giving thanks is to be universal. That is, we're to give thanks in everything. And Paul tells us that giving thanks is God's will. And then Paul tells us that giving thanks is Christian. And by that I mean, giving thanks is what Christians do. It's the character of Christians to be thankful. By contrast, the wicked are unthankful. In Romans 1:18-21, Paul said, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, "In the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Christians should be thankful. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Being thankful is a mark of mental and moral growth. Children have to talk to be thankful. There are Christians who are failing at teaching their children this. There are Christians who are failing at this themselves, being thankful. The fact that Paul commanded this proves that it's not natural. King Lear is considered one of Shakespeare's greatest dramas. In this play, King Lear wants to step down from the throne, and he decides to divide his kingdom between his three daughters. Two of his daughters are flatterers, but the other one is honest, and he banishes the one for her honesty, and then the flatterers turn against him, as flatterers always do. During one of the confrontations with his daughters, he utters the famous quote, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." How about a thankless child of God? Ingratitude says, "I don't need you." Ingratitude says, "I don't care what you did. I don't care what sacrifices you made." Being thankful is a source of joy. And by that I mean that an ungrateful person is an unhappy person. Notice how joy and thanksgiving are connected in the following verses. Back in the book of Nehemiah, around 4.5 centuries before Christ, we read in chapter 12, verse 27, "At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites sought out from where they were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully. The dedication was songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres." Several centuries prior to that, Isaiah says in Isaiah 51, verse 3, "The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing." In Colossians 1, verse 12, Paul talks about giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. We talked about how blessed we are in this country, yet consider how blessed we are spiritually. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul says, "When we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then also in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, Paul says, "God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Considering all that God has done for us and how undeserving we are, how can we not be thankful? And then we see that giving thanks is to be universal, as we said earlier. That is, we are to give thanks in everything. Again, our text, or one of the texts we've already mentioned, "Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." That's Philippians chapter 4. Then our text, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks. In the previous text, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." So again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Someone has said we can complain about because a rose bush has thorns, or we can give thanks because the thorn bush has roses. I know this sounds platonic, but it's true, and it reflects an attitude of either gratitude or ingratitude. We need to be thankful for our health. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. We need to be grateful for our food. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4. Paul says, every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. We need to be grateful for God's promise that all things work together for our good. Romans 8, verse 28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. This passage doesn't mean that all our dreams are going to come true because we're Christians. It doesn't mean that bad things are never going to happen to us. The immediate context makes it clear that we are children of God, as Paul says in Romans 8, verse 16 through 18, just a few verses previous to the one we read. He says, we are children of God if we suffer with Christ, that we may also be glorified together. Then verse 18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then in verse 35, the same chapter, so I've gone previous to the verse we looked at, Romans 8, 28, and now just a few verses later, in verse 35, Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Why would Paul say such things if everything is always supposed to be grand, if everything is always supposed to go swimmingly for God's people? The health and wealth preachers, the preachers of the so-called prosperity gospel, may try to sell you that message, but Paul is dealing with reality. Paul is teaching the truth. Like the entire overriding theme of the Bible, this passage is concerned with our spiritual well-being. All things, even the unpleasant, the difficult, the bad, can work for our good, for our benefit, if we focus on the spiritual and the eternal. Because difficulties help wean us from this world, and they point us to the next world. And that introduces the next point that we should be thankful for. And that's difficulties. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, a very familiar passage, says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James doesn't use the phrase give thanks here. Instead, he says to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, difficulties, problems. Most people can be thankful when times are good, though some even fail at that. But it takes maturity. It takes confidence in God. It takes trust in the Lord to be thankful when times are bad, in all circumstances, in circumstances of prosperity and adversity, in joy and sorrow, in sickness and health. In the depth of his affliction, Job could say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job chapter 1, verse 8, we're told, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? The Lord allowed Satan to reach out his hand against Job, and Job lost all his children and almost everything. In chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we're told that Job arose, he tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We may sometimes mouth the words of being thankful, but in our actions, we may deny that we are really grateful. Someone has said, kind words never die, but they do look kind of sick without kind deeds. One more point, which does not need to be elaborated because it's already been noted several times, is that giving thanks is God's will. Our text again, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything, a little bit of my Kentucky heritage coming out there, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hebrews 13, verse 15, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. A mother and her son lived in the forest. A tornado came and carried her son away. She began weeping, and she prayed, Lord, bring back my boy. He's all I have. If you bring him back, I'll serve you all my days. Suddenly, the boy fell from the sky, right at her feet. He was messed up a little. He was disheveled, but he was safe and sound. The mother joyfully brushed him off. Then she paused for a moment. She looked up and said, Lord, he had a hat. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Giving thanks is Christian. Giving thanks is to be universal in everything. Giving thanks is God's will. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let us be thankful.